In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I contemplate the state of the world, and the state of the Church more particularly, especially in light of what is happening both in the world and in the Church in these days, it never ceases to amaze me, and on one level, how far we have fallen, how far away we have come from knowledge of the truths of our faith and the practice thereof. I often find this not necessarily in our own community, but when I at times venture outside of the security of these walls and interact with the larger church, how much there is that people simply no longer believe about the truths of the faith. It truly has come to pass, brothers and sisters, that there are two churches under one roof. One is Catholic and the other is not. And those who are not inhabit, in one sense, more power, more authority, and more space. And even more sadly, they continue to profess that they indeed are actually Catholic. They themselves are confused, but have added even more confusion to the world itself, allowing everyone to believe that there are a whole host of positions, a whole host of things that one can accept and still continue to call oneself Catholic, when we know that is simply not the truth. Now, you may say this seems slightly incongruous with the beauty of the second Sunday of our Lenten season, but if we pay heed to what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, it puts into context what it is that is being asked of us. He says, you are making progress, but you need to make even more progress. You're doing good, but you need to do better. No one hears that any longer. We all get gold stars. We all get first place ribbons. We can go on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or other forms of mediated communication, and we can live like superstars. And we have followers who, in a sense, give over to the reality that we are great, wonderful people, and there's nothing wrong with us. You might be great, wonderful people, but there are things that are wrong with you. Not because I am saying so, not because I am positing it as such, but because we are sinners and we are weak and we fail. And for all the good that we do, there's always more good that can actually be done. The motto of the Society of Jesus, founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola, Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam, for the greatest glory of God. Not just good glory or great glory, but the greatest glory that I can give to God. Now, what does this have to do with the world in which we live? Well, it intensifies the progress that we must actually make. In good times, this exhortation would have been difficult for us to achieve. But in these times in which we find ourselves now, not only is it difficult for us to achieve this progress beyond what it is that we have achieved, but then also there is a necessity for us to go even further, because if we do not, who are here and who actually are believers, if we who accept the content of the truths of our faith as they have been passed down from generation to generation, if we are not making the greatest progress, striving to the greatest of our abilities to give God everything, then the world in which we live, and the church as she finds herself now, will continue down this road to her own perdition. Again, I am not a prognosticator of what the future will be, only I'm looking at the reality in which we find ourselves. After almost 3 decades of priestly life, I would never have imagined that I would hear from people who profess faith in Jesus Christ that the divinity of Jesus Christ simply does not matter. Or to find that in some of our Catholic schools, there are people who teach Catholic religion, and I say that in quotes, who profess that Jesus was a sinner just like us. I hear these things and I think, well, that must be an aberration, an abnormality. That is just one person. But then it's duplicated over and over and over again. And after a while, I have to ask myself, where am I? And how has it come to pass that I find myself not in the Catholic Church while I'm still seeking to be a Catholic priest? This is where we are. And then what do we do? Well, I can give up. which sadly at times has crossed my mind. Simply go along with everyone else. Do what everyone else is doing. It certainly seems easier. I don't actually like knowing the things that I know, having the information that I have. It doesn't really bring me that much peace. But God didn't promise us that life would be easy. He did indeed say there would be peace, but not a peace born of resignation, not a peace that comes about by virtue of compromise, but a peace that comes in the carrying of the cross. And so I come back again to the exhortation. Yes, I might be keeping a good Lent, but could you keep a better Lent? And the answer is always yes. There is more that can be done. But remember, we do more not to pat ourselves on the back. And we do more not simply just to do more. We do more to give honor and glory to God. We do more so that God's grace may truly make itself manifest in the manner in which we do indeed progress in holiness. And so we continue to strive. And as he also says to us, God desires that we all receive salvation. Don't give up. Do not grow tired. This is the beauty and the message of the second Sunday of the Lenten season, which by tradition gives us the Transfiguration. Of course, this is about our Lord, who is the beloved Son of our Heavenly Father, and the Father makes that very clear. Also, he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, Moses and Elias, there with him. But also he is made transfigured, gloriously white, in anticipation of what will happen to one who endures, one who suffers, one who dies, one receives this glorious new life. The Lord will achieve that for us. And then he invites us into that. But the only way into that glory, that transfigured life, is to do as he himself did. Embrace your crosses, die to yourself in order that you might live, but live only in our Lord. And so we continue to strive and to do more and to never give up and to never grow tired. I have given you a litany of all the things that are wrong with the world, and I will probably continue to do so. But even as we know that litany, in the final analysis, what rests before us is we know also what it is that we ought to do. And we define ourselves not by all the things that are wrong with the world. Rather, we define ourselves by all the good that God has bestowed upon us. This is not an easy task, and you know that as well as I, probably better than I. I live a very narrow and circumscribed manner of life that is working for me. I like it this way. But I know there's a world outside of these walls, and that has seeped into these walls itself. And I know outside of these walls and inside of the bark of Peter herself, there are difficulties that we must confront. But all of those pale in comparison, and in truth have been slayed and conquered in the mystery of our Lord. The only thing that is required of me is to continue to be with the Lord. And as I remain with the Lord, to strive not to just simply be there, but to allow the graces that God gives me to move me forward to greater and greater progress. It is God's work first, last, and always. But so too, he desires that we cooperate in that which he wants to bestow upon us. And so, as much as we contemplate and are given in anticipation the glories of the resurrection, do not move too quickly to that joy, because there is still time and necessity for you to carry your cross. It is the second Sunday of our Lenten journey. And maybe it has not begun as you would have anticipated, and things have been a challenge for you. Don't give up. Do not grow tired. Continue. Maybe redouble or triple your efforts. Maybe the few things that you have undertaken need to be added to instead of distracted from. You talk about that with God. You listen to God. You allow God to lead and decide for you. But then you follow the Lord. And you do whatever it is that he commands that you do. And you do that with faith and confidence, knowing that whatever sacrifices are asked of you will be returned to you with blessings 10, 50, and 100-fold. that the glories that the Lord himself was shown in, and the voice of the Father who loves his Son, is likewise a gift that is for us, if we too can be beloved children, following after our brother, our Lord, to the graces that the Heavenly Father wants to bestow upon us. Listen to the Lord, most especially, not only in your prayer, but in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which we celebrate, and the Lord who speaks to us from the tabernacle. Rejoice, knowing what it is that you know, and the gifts that have been given to you, and then dying to yourself, make yourself like our Lord, pleasing to our Heavenly Father, that you may enjoy his peace and his grace and his blessing and favor, not only in this life, but in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.